Now, today, I want to look at Moses, basically because we're continuing with Hebrews, and the writer to the Hebrews thinks quite a lot about Moses, because Moses is a man of faith. But when you think about it, any man of faith is just a reflection of God's faithfulness. Our faith is only because God is faithful, that we can trust God in who he is, his character, and what he says. He is faithful. Well, let's just start off thinking about who Moses is. Has anybody here been to Egypt?
Yes.
Yes, right. If you've been to Egypt, you've seen the Nile River. And a couple from the tribe of Levi were living by the Nile, and they had a baby. They looked at the baby, baby boy. It was beautiful, beautiful baby. But there was a dilemma. There was a very difficult decision that they had to make. And the reason was that at that particular period of time, the Egyptians thought that the Hebrews, the Israelites, were increasing far too much in number and becoming too powerful, having too much of an impact in Egypt. And Pharaoh had given an order. So this came from the highest authority in Egypt, that any baby boy, just the boys, that any baby boy was to be thrown into the Nile and killed. So there are the parents. And they have a really difficult decision. The decision is, do we keep this baby and risk what would happen to them if the baby was found? There was a price to pay. Or should they obey the government of that time and do what the government had commanded? It was a difficult decision for them to make. It was a dilemma. But let's just read the background to that. So this is Exodus, and I'll start with chapter 1, verse 22, and read chapter 2 until verse 10. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, so it's like a basket, daubed it, coated it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river bank. So, yes, in Egypt in those days, they made boats in a very similar way, made them out of reeds, papyrus, and then coated them with tar to waterproof them. Basically, she'd made a little boat for the baby. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby cried. So she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, because I drew him out of the water. So all of us face dilemmas at time to time, those times where it's difficult to make a right decision. You think about it, sometimes it's so that whatever decision you make, you know that it's almost like the wrong decision, that it's so difficult, you're not going to do anything that's really going to solve a particular problem, and you're just seeking guidance to be able to make a good decision in that situation. And here we have a situation where the parents are in a dilemma because of the command of Pharaoh. So you actually have the government making a decision, giving an order that is morally incorrect. And this happens. Governments are established by people, sinful people. And we're very thankful in Cyprus that we have a government here that is basically a moral and true government, where there is some sort of justice. It's not like that in other places around the world. You only have to have a look in certain situations today. Think about what happened to Navalny in Russia, or many other situations. Think about what happened during Nazi Germany. And the people who were ordered to work in the death camps, they received orders. And when there was the judgment in Nuremberg later on, this was the reasoning they gave. Why did you do it? Because I was ordered. I was commanded to by the government. And in fact, the Bible actually teaches to be in submission to the authorities. In Hebrews 13, 17, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Whether it's church authorities or whether it's worldly authorities, we are taught to be in a place of submission. But there is a higher authority, but it does create a dilemma. How do we decide in those times? I mean, just recently, as reading a situation in Cyprus, I think it was just last week, where a poor lady, pregnant, 5 months pregnant, discovered that the fetus had Down syndrome, and she was advised to have an abortion. 5 months old. And 5 anaesthetists in Cyprus refused to participate in the abortion. How difficult. How difficult for them to decide. How difficult for the mother. How difficult for everybody involved in a situation like that. How do you decide? Well, Moses' parents perhaps help us to understand how to make a good decision in a time of dilemma. So let's just read what it says in Hebrews 11. So this is 11, verses 23 to 29. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict, his command. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. Now, you might have noticed that I have used bold type for by faith. So when it comes to Moses, there are five times that we read by faith. By faith, Moses' parents hid him. By faith, Moses refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, he left Egypt. By faith, he kept the Passover. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea. So we see that Moses is connected to faith. He is an example of what it means to be faithful. So by faith, Moses' parents hid him. So they chose not to obey the command of Pharaoh to throw Moses into the Nile, but instead to hide him. And then, of course, we read that the Lord worked things out wonderfully so that Moses' real mother was able to nurse her baby. And then when the time came, she handed him over to Pharaoh's daughter. And Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and named him Moses. But how did they come to make a decision like that? How do we make difficult decisions when there's a dilemma? Well, first of all, they didn't fear the king's edict. They were not afraid. When we're making an important decision, it's not to be out of fear. Also, of course, it's by faith. When they were making this decision, it was through faith that they were deciding. In other words, they were not looking to the situation around. They were looking, first of all, to God. Faith focuses on God. Fix your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of your faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus. When you're making an important decision, that's where your eyes need to be fixed. It's good to evaluate the situation that you're in and to think about the consequences of possible decisions. It's good not to be led by feelings or your emotions, even though you might be in a very emotional situation. Just last week, so I was surprised by a girl calling me wanting advice. She was in a relationship that was obviously a toxic relationship. And I didn't want to just bluntly say, get out of it. This is no good. You're being disobedient. Instead, I was a little bit more diplomatic than that. I said, look to God in this situation and do what is right. She did. So she's suffering a lot in her emotions at the moment. I think we all know what it is to have a broken heart at one time or another. But I'm proud that she didn't let her emotions dictate her decision. It's great that she decided to look to Jesus. What does Jesus want for her? Because Jesus wants our best. We forget that. When we're making a decision, what Jesus wants is always going to be the best for us. We might not realize it at the time or think of it. There might be a battle. Do we trust Jesus enough in that situation? But ultimately, I think most of us in our spiritual lives, we've learned that when we're obedient, it's been for our good. By faith, Moses' parents hid him. By faith, Moses chose to stand with God's people. Just think about it. Again, those of you who have been to Egypt, you've probably been to that museum in Cairo where you've seen the treasures of Tutankhamun and all of that. Well, this is what Moses could have had. He was there as part of that. The son of Pharaoh's daughter, he had access to the wealth of Egypt, the gold, the treasures. But instead of that, he looked to the people of God. He looked to the Hebrews, that despised people. The people that were suffering, that were enslaved by the Egyptians. And he said, that's where I belong. And it was by faith that he made that decision. And it's the same with us. Where do you belong? Do you belong to the world with its treasures, with its fleeting pleasures and everything that the world can offer? Or do you belong with the people of God? And believe me, the people of God will often suffer reproach. Even in the West these days, if you stand up and say that you're a Christian, there'll be those who think that you're stupid, that you've been deceived and deluded. In other countries, you will be persecuted. You'll be thrown into prison. There are even those I know personally who have been killed for their faith. It happens. But where do you stand? You see, when Jesus calls us, he actually calls us into a spiritual battle. There is a battle that's raging around, and there are things that will draw us from one side and the other. And we're actually in a dilemma ourselves, and we need to decide, where do we belong? Do you belong in the church with the people of God? Do you belong as a child of God, adopted into his family? Do you belong that you have an eternal weight of glory compared to your light and momentary troubles? So Moses knew where he was belong. He must have faced incredible temptation. I mean, the sort of temptation we're never probably going to endure, encounter. There was so much that he could have had as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but he said, no, I choose to share in the reproach of the people of God. I mean, really, that's a reflection of our Lord Jesus, isn't it? Our Lord Jesus, who himself stripped himself of his glory in order to come down to this earth, clothed himself in our humanity that he might bear our sin upon the cross. Our Lord Jesus chose to be with us, to be counted as a sinner on the cross, that he might set us free from sin and bring us eternal life. Moses chose to stand with God's people by faith. Moses left Egypt and persevered, seeing the invisible God. Moses recognized a calling over his life to set the people free, to bring them into the promises that were given to Abraham, to allow the people to take hold of the land that had been promised to the descendants of Abraham. But the people didn't recognize it. And after this incident, I won't go into it now, but an incident where he killed someone who was actually an Egyptian who was beating a Hebrew, he thought perhaps that the people would then respond to him as a leader. But they didn't. They rejected him. His own people rejected him. Now, we've just read that Moses himself had chosen to identify himself with them. How do you think it felt for him to be rejected by the very people he had chosen to be with? It's often not easy. And by faith, he left Egypt. He went into the wilderness for 40 years. He married there. He was looking after the flocks there. 40 years, but still carrying in his heart a burden for the people, because he belonged to the people. That's where he had chosen to be. It must have been an incredibly difficult time for Moses. But he persevered. He didn't give up. Now, It takes faith not to give up. But it takes something else. There is this remarkable way that it's put in Hebrews. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, he persevered, as seeing him who is invisible. How can you see what is invisible? Well, this is what faith is. You see, other people can't see it. Other people don't understand it. Because the people in the world have been blinded. The Bible says that quite clearly, that the eyes are veiled. They cannot see, they cannot understand. You might have opportunities to speak the gospel to people, to tell them about the wonder it is of Jesus Christ, what he has done for us. And it's like they just can't get it. I can remember myself, I was like that. Sort of when I was with some young Christians at university, you know, they were telling me the gospel, it just didn't drop, it just wouldn't go in. I couldn't understand it. And it was only later that it was like the penny dropped and everything came into place. But I really think that it took something of the Holy Spirit to work in me, to open my eyes so that I could see. And when we see, we are seeing what other people can't see. By faith, we see the invisible. By faith, we see Jesus. By faith, we see him who is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. By faith, we see that he is also going to come. That he is the name above all names, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That he is Jesus. And Moses, it was by faith. Even though he'd experienced this rejection from his people that he'd chosen to be with, chosen to lead, wanted to bring them into the promises of God, he left, but he persevered. He kept on because he saw him who is invisible. And it's when we have our eyes fixed on Jesus that we can persevere. It's when we fix our eyes upon Jesus that miracles start to happen around us. It's when we have our eyes fixed upon Jesus that we know where we're going. And by faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. So you recall that in Egypt there were many plagues, and the final plague was that the destroyer was going to come and kill the firstborn. But Moses was instructed by God that each Hebrew family was to have a lamb. They were to look after that lamb for a time in their homes, to feed it, to care for it. But then on the night of the Passover, they were to kill that lamb and to take of its blood and to put it over the top of the doorway and along the sides of the door. They were to eat it along with bitter herbs. And then when the time came for them to leave, they would have gone out of that door. They would have actually passed through the blood that was over them and that was around them. It was by faith that Moses kept the Passover and instructed the Hebrews to do likewise. And it was by faith that it's a picture of what we have experienced with Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God. He is our Passover. When was Jesus crucified? On the Passover. He is the Passover Lamb. His blood is what is over our lives. We pass through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. It's by faith. It's by faith that we celebrate communion together. When we take the cup, it reminds us of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of the new covenant. When we take the bread, it reminds us of his body that was broken for us. And it's by faith that we take this, even as by faith Moses kept the Passover. By faith, we keep communion with our Lord Jesus. And finally, by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea. The Hebrews, with Moses and his brother Aaron at the head, had marched towards the coast of the Red Sea. Pharaoh and his army rose up behind them. Before the people was the sea. Behind the people was the army. They were squashed into a situation. Yet another dilemma. What were they going to do? They couldn't do a thing. Not a thing. They were totally helpless in that situation. But what we can't do, God can. And God opened up the Red Sea. The waters parted so that they were able to walk through as on dry land. Now, I don't know in your lives if there are any situations that seem absolutely impossible for you. That you think, I can't do anything in this situation. There's no way out. It's like the sea's in front of me and the army's behind me. What can I do? Nothing. But God can. By faith, God can make the way. So, when you're in a dilemma and have a difficult decision to make, remember, it's by faith you need to make that decision, even as by faith the parents of Moses hid their baby. It's by faith that you need to decide where you're going to stand. Are you with the world? Are you with the people of God? It's by faith that Moses left Egypt and persevered. Is there anything that you need to leave? By faith. Do you need to persevere? By faith. How? By seeing the invisible God. By faith, Moses kept the Passover. By faith, we keep communion. Because it reminds us that Jesus is the perfect Passover lamb. And by faith, in an impossible situation, God did the impossible and opened up the way. There is no such thing as an impossibility for our Lord God. Amen?
Amen. Amen.